Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant? A memoir is Rose Chast's graphic memoir about the final years of her elderly parents, especially the emotional, practical, and moral complications that arise as independence gives way to dependency. Published in 2014, the book blends cartoons, family photographs, documents, and prose to show how caregiving reshapes adult children and forces families to confront subjects they have long avoided, including decline, death, money, and legal planning. Chast draws on her own experience as an only child trying to manage her parents' transition from their Brooklyn home into assisted living, while also processing her own responses of denial, guilt, frustration, and love. The book is both deeply personal and broadly relatable, because it treats elder care not as a private oddity, but as a common rite of passage for many families. Its unusual form allows it to be funny without minimizing pain, and serious without becoming abstract or clinical. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the memoir turns elder care into a clear account of role reversal. One of the book's central concerns is the moment when adult children begin to function as decision makers for their parents. Chast shows this as more than a logistical shift. It is a psychological reversal that can feel unnatural even when it is necessary. Her parents had long occupied the authoritative position in the family, yet illness, frailty, and cognitive decline gradually require Rose to manage appointments, housing, paperwork, and practical decisions. That change is important because it captures a common but rarely described family experience. The child becomes the organizer while the parent becomes the one who needs organizing. The memoir does not simplify that process into a neat lesson about maturity. Instead, it emphasizes how awkward, resistant, and emotionally unstable it can be. The reader sees how caregiving often begins before anyone is ready for it, and how competence in this context is less about certainty than about continuing to act despite discomfort. This gives the book a strong structural tension, since the family must keep moving forward even as everyone struggles to accept the new hierarchy. And dark humor shaped the book's emotional logic. Chast is especially interested in the ways families postpone hard conversations until they can no longer be avoided. The title itself points to this pattern, since it captures the desire to escape unpleasant subjects such as aging, infirmity, and death. The memoir repeatedly shows how denial can function as a coping mechanism, especially when parents and child prefer distraction over direct discussion. That avoidance is not presented as cowardice alone. It is also shown as a familiar human response to fear. What makes the book distinctive is that Chast does not abandon humor in order to address these issues. Instead, humor becomes part of the analysis. Her cartoons expose absurdity inside situations that are painful, embarrassing, or tedious, and that tonal mixture makes the emotional reality more believable rather than less. The laughter is not decorative. It helps the reader register how families often survive distress through irony, exaggeration, and awkward jokes. In that sense, the memoir explains not only what caregiving feels like, but also why humor can coexist with grief without reducing either one. Thirdly, the graphic form expands what a memoir about decline can do. The book is a graphic memoir, and that format is essential to how it communicates experience. Chast uses 4 color cartoons alongside family photographs, handwritten materials, and other documents, which means the memoir can move between emotional memory and factual texture with unusual flexibility. Visual sequence allows her to show clutter, interiors, bodily awkwardness, and emotional distance in ways that prose alone might describe more slowly or abstractly. The graphics also help express the instability of caregiving, where daily life can feel fragmented into errands, crises, and administrative details. This form matters because the subject is not simply an inner emotional journey. It is also a material one shaped by apartments, institutions, paper trails, and bodies in decline. The combination of image and text makes the book feel both intimate and observational, as if the reader is being shown how the situation looked as well as told how it felt. That dual mode gives the memoir a documentary quality, while still preserving the voice and timing needed for satire, self-critique, and pathos. The result is a more layered account than a conventional memoir would usually provide. Fourthly, practical elder law and care logistics are part of the narrative meaning. A notable feature of the memoir is its attention to the administrative reality of aging. The book does not treat elder care as only a matter of feelings. It also shows the importance of wills, advance directives, healthcare proxies, power of attorney, and other legal tools. This practical layer matters because it reveals how much of family caregiving is governed by paperwork and institutions rather than by good intentions. Chast's experience shows that difficult conversations about death and money are not merely symbolic hurdles. They determine whether families can actually protect aging parents and make timely decisions when illness worsens. The memoir, therefore, has value beyond literary observation. It illustrates how planning can reduce confusion, even if it cannot eliminate grief. By including these details, the book acknowledges the role of experts, especially elder law professionals, in helping families move from emotional paralysis to action. This makes the memoir useful for readers who may not need a self-help manual, but do need a realistic picture of the system surrounding elder decline. The practical dimension is one reason the book resonates so strongly with caregivers and adult children facing similar decisions. Lastly, the memoir balances idiosyncratic family detail with universal caregiving experience. Although the Chast family is portrayed with sharp individuality, the book's appeal rests on how widely recognizable its situations are. Rose Chast's parents are specific personalities, and her memories of them are shaped by decades of family tension, habit, and dependence. Yet the memoir consistently moves from the particular to the general, showing how one family's story can illuminate a much broader pattern of aging in modern life. The move from a long-time home to assisted living, the struggle to negotiate intimacy and decline, and the discomfort of managing a parent's vulnerability are all presented as familiar thresholds rather than isolated events. This balance is crucial because it prevents the book from becoming either too private to matter or too generalized to feel honest. The reader is invited to recognize that every family will experience its own version of these transitions, even if the details differ. That is why the memoir often works as both a personal narrative and a shared reference point. It offers a way to think about caregiving as a common human situation shaped by family history, institutional care, and the unavoidable passage of time. In conclusion, can't we talk about something more pleasant? A memoir is best suited to readers who are facing aging parents, expect to face that responsibility, or want a serious but readable account of family caregiving. It will also appeal to readers interested in graphic memoirs because it demonstrates how visual storytelling can deepen emotional insight without turning sentimental or schematic. The book offers practical benefits by making elder care feel more legible. It shows why legal planning matters, why avoidance creates problems, and how institutions change the meaning of family responsibility. It also offers intellectual value as an example of how humor can coexist with grief and how comics can handle subjects often reserved for prose nonfiction. Compared with many memoirs about family decline, this one stands out because it is neither purely comic nor purely tragic. Chast's voice, visual style, and precise attention to everyday discomfort create a work that is both observational and emotionally exact. Its strength lies in showing that the hardest family experiences are often the least discussable ones, and that clarity, not sentiment, is what makes them bearable to read about. If you would like to support Rose Chast, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.